together, okay? It's gonna be a little difficult. I really miss you guys, okay? You know, going to camp, I'm where the Lord wants me to. I'm very thoroughly convinced of that. I'm thoroughly convinced the way it happened and the leadership here at the church and the leadership at the board of directors at Turkey Hill, that right now in this season of life, the Lord has put me where he wants me. And how long? People have asked me how long. I said, until the Lord says, hey, move along or do this or do that. That's where I'm at. So again, I really miss you guys. I love coming here. I appreciate your support, whether it's physical, financial, prayers. How many of you have been to Turkey Hill? Raise your hand. Yeah, okay. So you guys, we can't have camp without you. We can't have camp without you sending your kids, okay? In spite of COVID and all the things that have happened, the Lord has really blessed Turkey Hill. And I'll get to Turkey Hill. I have a slideshow and some of your kids are in it. Some of you guys are in it because you're there. You're there to help. The Turkey Hill ministry is way larger than I ever thought it was from the outside looking in. Now I'm on the inside looking out. It's huge. It's amazing. I was at a Toby Mac concert a couple weeks ago that was supposed to be over a year and a half ago, okay? This kid comes up to me. He's like, are you Jimmy Fitz? Are you Jimmy Fitz? I'm like, yeah, why? I was at teen camp this summer. I saw you. I just want to make sure that was you. I was at Turkey Hill. Get it all the time. I'm in Jeff City. And I'm walking through. I don't even have a Turkey Hill shirt on. And you see these kids. Hey, Mom, look, there's that walk over there. And they're pointing to me. And I'm like, I say, camp? And they go, yeah. I said, yeah, it's me. Oh, okay. They're trying to figure all that out. So it's unbelievable, the ministry that Turkey Hill does. And we'll get to that. So today, I was already scheduled to speak, okay. Well, then, you know, Senior passed away, so here we are, right? So this is probably one of his favorite chapters, okay? We all know that. And I literally was already going to speak on this anyway. So here we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I didn't come up here with my Bible. I left it sitting in the chair. That would help. Thank you. So 1 Corinthians 15. This chapter a lot of times gets misinterpreted, misused. 1 Corinthians 15, you know how there's chapters in the Bible that, like, we have Hebrews 11, right? Chapter of faith. We have 1 Corinthians 13 is, you know, about love, right? We all kind of, Revelation 21, you know, the millennial kingdom, how the Lord's going to reign, et cetera, right? So we have 1 Corinthians 15 is, what would we call it? The resurrection chapter, right? I'm excited about this chapter. I love this chapter because the day's going to come when my aching body will be no more and I will have a new, what? Resurrected body. Perfect, the way the Lord designed it. And I can't wait for that day because there's a lot of aches and pains that we deal with, right? So we'll have a new body. The chapter is pretty simple. It can be broken up into a couple of different spots. So we have the resurrection. Literally, we have, there we go. Okay. We have the power of the resurrection, and then we have proving the resurrection. So if you kind of broke it up into two different sections, you literally have that going on in this chapter. So it's pretty simple. You can break it down is, so tomorrow, hey, what was today's message about? Real simple. Two words, power and proving, right? Two P's. in a pod, and you'll see what I'm talking about, okay? The certainty of the resurrection. So we have the beginning chapters, or the beginning verses, talking about the power, and then Paul is proving it in the later sections. The big crux of this right now is he's dealing with the church, right? He's dealing with believers, and he's saying, wait a minute. He poses a question. He's like, how could some of you say there's no resurrection from the dead? What are you thinking? Okay, so they're saying, well, maybe it didn't happen. Can we prove it? And they're going back and forth, and they're having some issues about the resurrection. So you can see in the first verse of this chapter, it says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand. Then it goes on and it says, oh, hold on. Whoops, it's not letting me pull it down. Most of it will be up there, Kevin. So, in verse 2, it says, by which you are saved if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Small problem here. Some people will take this and say, well, if you don't hold fast, you could lose your salvation. Wrong answer, right? In faith alone, in Christ alone. Once you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Okay, doctrinally, we know that. Who's he speaking to here? He's speaking to the church, already believers, right? So what he's dealing with here, this could be misinterpreted, and it happens. Sometimes people go off. It says, I make known to you by which you know. He's saying, look, you know this. We know this. We know there's proof and power in the resurrection, but you still are asking, wait a minute, was there a resurrection? How could you say that? So he's addressing this question. It's similar to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 says, although you were formerly alienated, hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order that you might be presented to him holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, it says, if you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, which Paul says, I am a minister. Do you understand? If there's no resurrection, there's no power. Think that through. There's no resurrection, there's no power. So Paul then goes on and he says, I was there. I saw what happened. So there's proof, there were eyewitnesses, and we see these verses as the chapter goes on, and it says that they appeared to the 12 and then to the 500, and then he appeared to James, and last of all, he appeared to me also, okay? So what we see here is proof that the resurrection happened, okay? So what's the big idea? Okay, I'm going to shorten my message today. I've already shortened it, but I'm going to shorten it because I will give you some updates on Turkey Hill and show you a slideshow. So I'm going to go right to the big idea, so to speak. Okay, God's banking system. And you're thinking, what? What are you talking about? Okay, so think about this. Okay, right now, we need to live in light of what? Eternity. What else? In light of foundation, okay? Salvation. What?
Salvation.
Salvation, right? Okay. We know back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, what are we to build on? The foundation is laid, right? The resurrection has happened. The power is there. The proof is there. So we as believers, Paul's saying, look, it's already established for you. What are you building on? You're building on the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you building with? Okay? I mean, come on. The three little pigs figured it out, right? They build a house with brick, right? So they figured it out. Paul's saying, look, you got wood, hay, and stubble. And let me tell you, down at Turkey Hill, we burn a lot of stuff. We burn a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. And let me tell you, it burns really fast, okay? We throw stuff into our burn pile, and we're like, okay, when the wood burns off, we'll pull the metal out, and then we'll go recycle it. So it gets tried by fire, and what's left is what is good. And we get money for that, okay? I know it's kind of a loose illustration, but think about that. We as believers, what do we build with? Wood, hay, and stubble, our precious stones, gold and silver, because we know it's going to be tried by fire. So what Paul is doing here is he's talking to the church here at Corinth. He's saying, look, you want to be spiritually healthy? Do you want to be spiritually healthy? Live in the proof and the power of the resurrection. And what are you being saved from? The daily issues in life. I mean, come on, we face them every day, all the time. But are we living in the knowledge that we have of the power and the proof of the resurrection? So Paul is saying, and we can go back and forth, the saved and what it means in the Greek. I'm not going to go down that road, okay? It's not the same as in Ephesians 2, 8, 9 and all that. We can go on and on with that, okay? What he's talking about here is, look, in this day and age, what are you building with? Are you living in the power of the resurrection? I mean, the verse clearly says, if a man builds on a foundation with gold, silver, and precious stone, or wood, hay, and straw, what happens? The work becomes evident because it's going to be revealed by fire, okay? And we can go into the whole beam of seat and everything. What Paul is talking about here, let me put it in one sentence, okay? What Paul is talking about here is he's calling the Corinthians to an ongoing sanctification in the knowledge and the proof and the power of the resurrection, because there's power in the resurrection, okay? Think this through. Jeremy Camp wrote a song about this, okay? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Do you realize, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that same power lives within us? Mind-blowing for me, quite frankly, that this power that could raise someone from the dead, I mean, come on, no one in history other than Jesus Christ has more documentation that he raised himself from the dead. That's powerful stuff. You want to talk about power? Raise yourself from the dead. Show me you're powerful. You can't. But the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us. Romans 8, verse 11. By the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Pretty easy, right? I mean, I don't have to get up here and give you all the explanation. Let Scripture speak for itself. It's right here. It says it right here. So we are to walk our daily lives in the power of the resurrection. Do we do that? Do we think about that? I know we come and we talk about Jesus when we have our remembrance meeting, death, burial, and resurrection, and it's a great time of worship. But do we just think about that on Sunday? What about Monday through Saturday? Do we walk in resurrection power? Think about the power, the victory that we sang this morning in Jesus. So the bottom line is, do we do it today? Do we do it today? And why would we do it? Okay? And we can talk, we could spend a whole month of Sundays on kingdom rewards, millennial kingdom reign, why we do what we do. We are in service for the Lord today, and He will reward us for what we do. Well, I can't really do that. Well, I got to go do this. Well, I don't think I can manage that. Well, you know, so and so. We have the power within us to do it if we let the Lord lead in our lives. It's that simple. I can speak from past experience. And I've told you this before. There's no way, if you would have asked me 3 years ago, you'll be the director down at Turkey Hill, I would say, you're nuts. I would have told you that right to your face. You got to be kidding me. That's not going to happen. I was in a job that I could have just easily retired from down the road and been fine and stayed. But things, if you're open to the Spirit of the Lord and His power, all things work together for good for those who are called and those who He loves and those who love Him. Loose translation, but that's the bottom line, right? Do you love the Lord? Of course you do. Are you called according to His purpose? Of course you are. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be the director at Turkey Hill. You can be whatever you are right now, whether you're in school, in sports, retired, working as an accountant or an HVAC guy or whatever you are. God has a purpose for you. Let Him use you. Look, I feel personally, it's my personal opinion here, whether you're in full-time ministry or you're in quote-unquote a secular job, they're both just as important. Do you know how many people affected my mom and dad's life because they worked a regular job? And when I say regular, I don't mean full-time ministry job. That's my distinction, right? My mom met people at work that said she was seeking. Here, let me show you. Read what it says in the Bible. She wasn't in full-time work. My brother saw the change in my dad's life when they worked for him at the dealership, and they're scratching their heads like, what happened? And they were working at a, they were car salesmen of all people, right? My point is, God has a purpose and a plan, and we can talk the verses in Jeremiah about God has a plan and all those things. Let Him use you and know that you can stand because of the power and the proof of what? The resurrection, right? The millennial kingdom, and on we go. So then we get to this portion of this chapter. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sin, right? So what does futile mean? Pretty simple, hopeless, powerless, ineffective, worthless, right? So you guys know that like people have written books, and I forget the guy who wrote the one on the Civil War, if the South were to win, they kind of put out there what it would be like, okay? The one, the High Castle book about if the Nazis and Japanese won World War II, what would happen if this event were to be different, okay? So Paul is kind of doing that here. He's saying, look, what would have happened if Christ didn't come? Our faith would be in vain. Our faith, as C.S. Lewis put it, it kind of cut it off at the bottom because I don't have it lined up exactly right, but faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. Because our moods change, man, we could have mood swings 15 times, 20, 100, however many times a day, but our faith is firm, okay? Our faith is firm, and it's a conviction that something is true. So when Paul is saying, he's like, look, what would our faith be like if Christ didn't come and was raised from the dead? Or if he did come and he just died and didn't come back? So he's kind of giving us that glimpse of what would happen. It would be worthless. It would be pointless. That's what it would be. And then it goes on how we will be made alive, and we don't need to go through all the details. It's toward the end of the chapter on there's an order of things and how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. All I know is I'm signed up, okay? I'm there, okay? And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, so are you. We're there. So we don't need to go into the details. I would like to just talk about living victoriously in our daily life because of the power and the proof of the resurrection. So literally, this is my last slide, okay? And I cut off the bottom, and my apologies for that. It says, living today in the knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge of what? What knowledge do we have? We have the proof, right? There's evidences all over of the resurrection of Christ. Just prophecy alone, the odds of something that Jesus being born in Bethlehem when he was, I mean, the odds are staggering. So we have not only just what the Bible says, we actually have evidence, real proof, eyewitness proof. We could go on and on, okay? So we have the knowledge, do we not? Yes. Living today in the knowledge that we have in light of what? Tomorrow. Living in the knowledge of what we know in light of tomorrow. So what is in light of tomorrow? As soon as you walk out the door, as soon as you go back to wherever you're going tomorrow, how do we live our lives? What are we building on? We're building on the knowledge, right? The firm foundation. So then the question comes up, what are you building with? That's what it comes down to. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever the case might be, wherever you are in a season of life, what are you building with? Stones, precious stones, gold, silver, or wood, hay, and stubble. So as we think of the resurrection chapter in this book of Corinthians, remember, we have the proof, and guess what we also have? We have the power. Not in our own, not because of anything we do. It's because of what the Lord has done for us. And we can remember that because all things work together. I mean, we could go on and on. But just remembering those two things, the proof and the power, I don't know about you, but it excites me. Things come our way. Circumstances happen. But we have the proof and we have the power because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're going to shift gears real quick here. I got to change out this to the slideshow. So I got to go back here, share my screen, basic, share. Look at that. Oh. Okay, so this plays, I'm going to stop it a couple of times, okay? So I'm going to stop it for a second there. So, just to give you some statistics here, okay? Again, thank you for your support, prayers, physical, financial, you name it. This summer was a record summer. 1,539 kids came through camp. 1,539 kids had the opportunity to either come to know the Lord, to be assured. We have a lot of kids that question their eternal life, and we have a lot of kids that we discipled. So 1,539 kids. We had a record year. And it's not about the numbers. I just want you to understand that. But I want you to understand how the Lord has blessed this ministry because of you guys. George, you were there. Would you ever thought there'd be 1,500 kids in a summer? First week of camp Turkey Hill had was 16. We take 16 campers on the river now, okay? We've added camps this summer, this past summer. We have three wildernesses. We only used to have one. So that's 16 times three, plus we added a girls' wilderness, which is another 16. We added another week of our ranch hand. So not only do we have junior camps and teen camps going on, which we max out at 196 campers, we could take 16 more campers on the river, and then we could take 10 campers up to Ranch Hand for the Ranch Hand program. So we have camps going on with camps. Wait a minute, then there's day camp for the community. We had 28 one week of just community kids and some of the staff that comes down where their kids are younger and they go to day camp. But the community loves it. I mean, Quaker Windows is there in Freeburg, right? And they have a lot of employees. So instead of sending their kids to daycare, they bring them to Turkey Hill for the week so they can spend all week at camp. So it's just, it's, again, like I said earlier, from the outside in, you don't realize how big it is until you're the inside looking out. It's just unbelievable how far-reaching. Think countries, people, staff. We had 94 kids stay for discipleship week. That's where we just stopped the week of July 4th and minister to the staff. Had 94 attend that. Actually, 96. I forgot about our two head counselors. 96. Preaching, teaching, fellowship, prayer. We went into Jeff City to share the gospel at the fireworks. So there's just so many things. Jeremy's here. Jeremy, raise your hand. Jeremy and Bree are full-time down there. He's up helping take care of a roof. Long story there. But anyway, Jeremy's part of the full-time staff. Let me just give you a few instances, and then we'll roll through the slides, okay? You guys help out in all ways. We had an air conditioner go down, junior one, okay, on Friday. And it was in the cook's quarters in the back of the kitchen. So the cooks would not have been happy. So one of the cooks, Jeff, comes to me. It's like 6:30 in the morning. He's like, hey, Jim, I think there's something wrong with the air conditioner. So I go up. He's like, man, when it started, it really moaned. Okay, FYI, I was back in HVAC back in the day. I have to call my nephew to catch up on all the new technology. So it's shot. Long story short, the compressor's out, and I'm not going to go into details. We need it, right? You guys have been in cooks. You know the kitchen gets hot. The cook's quarters is upstairs, so it's really hot. And by the way, it's already 98 degrees, right? Ring, ring, call the supply place. Yeah, they got it. Well, it's here in Fenton. Well, that's 2 hours away. Hey, Kevin, Cindy, could you go get it? They went and got it. We had a young couple that was there with their kids, and he was working maintenance, she was working in the nurse's office, et cetera. He went and picked it up halfway. By 9 o'clock at night, the air conditioner was in, replaced, and up and running. Okay? You guys have picked up people at the airport. Hey, I got a staff. We had a staffer come in from Massachusetts. We had a staffer come in that flew out of Seattle, Washington, that stayed all summer. Hey, we need you to, Susan, you've picked up people. Who's picked up people for us? I mean, you guys have swapped them back and forth. We couldn't have camp without those things. I mean, there's just time after time what goes on. Our tractor, our beloved, our beloved tractor. So here I am in staff training, right? And I see Jimmy and Toby walk in the back door and I'm like, they should be cutting hay. Why are they here, right? So my phone is sitting up here and I'm finishing up with staff training and a text comes across my phone. It's from Jimmy Allen. He's like, need to talk to you as soon as you're done. I'm like, okay, this can't be good. So I go back there. Hey, our New Holland tractor, which is the blue one, the big one, if you've been there, the engine just blew up. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. And he shows me the video of the plume of smoke of coming billowing out of it, right? Is that too big for the Lord to take care of? No. I don't know if you guys know this, but tractors are about $60,000 to $80,000, okay? Easily, and you can go bigger than that. Brother says, hey, he finds out about it. He's like, hey, I'll sell you mine and donate a portion of it. The New Holland dealer says, well, we'll pay you X for yours and we'll just take it. I'm like, yeah, get rid of it. We don't want it. Okay. Had another church hear about it. They sent a donation. We had money set aside in our emergency fund. Okay. Literally almost to the dollar between the donations on the purchase, the churches that helped out and individuals helped out in our emergency fund, almost to the dollar. We have a lovely 500-hour John Deere tractor now, okay? So the Lord will provide all different kinds of things. And I'll show you in the slides, and I'll stop it as we go, how the Lord has provided. We remodel things. We put in some hardwood floors. We've taken out worn-out floors. Matt Rennes, I call him our procurement officer because he finds deal after deal after deal. He found this Nair is a company that you can buy from if you're not-for-profit organizations, and manufacturers do all their overruns and things like that, and they have it out on. Matt comes to me, he's like, hey, look at this. And I'm looking at, this was over a year ago, mind you, okay? I'm like, do we really need that? I said, yeah, go ahead and buy it. We bought 3 skids of engineered hardwood floor. 30 cents a square foot. We've already used 2 skids. The last skid is going to be for the last house. So things just, it's incredible how the Lord provides. And those are just some examples. I mean, from big things to small things. It's amazing. Seeing it firsthand literally blows my mind. So I'm going to show you some slides, and then we'll close with that. So as you can see, this is just 1 week of camp, by the way. We took a picture up top. Some of you will recognize some people in these pictures. Uh-huh. We have horseback riding, if you can't tell. We have archery. Again, even during game time, they work on verses. This is just one of the teams. They do team sports, and they kind of switch them out when it's hot. We have our lake, as you know, with our obstacle course, which it takes me about 4 or 5 times to make it without falling in. If you don't like enough water, you can go to the pool. That's one of the weeks we had a meeting down below. Oh, I got to stop here. Okay, this was a funny story. So this is 2 guys' cabin, older guys, and one of the weeks, Chase is in there too. I don't know if Chase is in here, but we were talking, okay, camp food is high carbs. There you go, high carbs, right? So we're talking, these 2 cabins, we're talking. I said, man, they're talking about Chick-fil-A, and I'm like, oh, it was Wednesday. So you're already Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday into camp food, right? They're like, oh, it'd be awesome to have Chick-fil-A. So Noah happened to be in Jeff City. I said, hey, get me X amount of Chick-fil-A sandwiches. And we didn't tell the two boys' cabins. We just called them in. We were the only two. We called them up. They thought they were in trouble. We said, guess what? It's time for Chick-fil-A. So it was like 10 o'clock at night. We pulled them out of their cabins. So it was a lot of fun. So there's just a lot of memories that these kids have, you know, about camp. So chapel time, like I said, 1,538 kids heard God's word. One of our speakers does super duper chalk. We had a themed week, which this was a lot of fun. We had a themed week. One of the weeks, the directors did I'm a Nomad, you know, and how you can live the Christian life and, you know, you take up your cross and et cetera, et cetera. So you should have seen it down on the activity field. We had 10 teams. They all had to build their cross and put them up. It was really neat. So a lot, even the activities involve, you know, things of the Lord. So it was a lot of fun. Again, during game time, they'll take time to learn their verses. Oh, here's a fun one. Here's another thing. You with me now, right? 1, 2, 3 boys' wilderness, 1 girls' wilderness, and 2 weekends. So that's 6 trips to the river, right? A church gave us that bus. So we put a hitch on it. Those are our canoes. Turkey Hill owns the canoes. We put a hitch on it and got it all lit up. So now, 1 person, 1 trip. Take them down to the river on Monday, go back and pick them up on Friday. 1 person. Not, I got to go rent a van. We need the Suburban. We need the truck. We need a trailer. We need another trailer. Then I need 3 drivers, and on the list goes, right? 1 vehicle, 1 driver. This is one of the crews that went on the guy's river. Wait, you went? Did you go? You went on the river. Did you have fun? Yep. And then we had a girls go. So here's just some pictures. They go down the current river. We start up at the low water bridge in Salem. And then I pick them up way down outside of Eminence, which taking the bus on that Highway 19 is a little challenging, but fun. Oh, and the girls, now you might see some guys here, but we had some chaperones. We had Jimmy and Ashley Allen and Micah and Amy Tuttle chaperoned the girls' wilderness because we wanted a couple of guys to go there. So the married couples went with the girls. Teen camp, they always do the color run, and yeah, they had a lot of fun with that. Oh, we do different weekends. We have archery day where people around the community come. We'll have 50, 60 people come, and we have a 3D archery shoot and giveaway prizes. We have weekend camps. We have family camps, Memorial Day, Labor Day that you guys can come to. There's just beyond just kids camp where there's a lot of other camps that are available and a lot of other events that go on that happen during the season. This was our trip to Jeff City with the staff. Again, being able to use the bus, we used it a bunch. This was discipleship training with all of the 94 staff that we had. Just a lot of good time in the Word. And, you know, let me stop that picture right there. You might recognize a few people. So in discipleship, you know, Turkey Hill Ranch is soul saved, right? Clarity of the gospel, right? Keep the main thing the main thing. When they asked me, the directors, they said, what's your number one goal? I said, to keep the main thing the main thing. They said, what's the main thing? I said, the clear presentation of the gospel, right? Soul saved, souls discipled, and souls sent out. So we encompass all of that. Our main goal is obviously camp. Bring the kids in. Present the gospel. Discipleship. You guys are a huge part of it. Staff, we had the beginning of the year, we only had 34 people signed up for staff for junior 5 and 6. Okay, to run camp efficiently, we need probably close to 70, okay, to run it efficiently. We can squeak by with less, but it's tough, okay? Because figure this, we need 23 counselors right out of the gate, all right? So that takes your 60 down to 40 or 37, right? So we still need kitchen crew, gym crew, lifeguards, maintenance, and the list goes on, right? And we need cooks. You guys came and cooked. That was a fun week. So come again. Some more cooks. Some staff. Oh, you know her. Okay, this was a lot of fun. This was part of, we have staff speakers that come down just for the staff, okay? So I'll ask a married couple to come down so we can split up so the girls can go with the young lady and the guys with the guy and et cetera, et cetera. So one night we all decided that, well, the staff speaker was Bob and Teresa Smith from Iowa. And Bob comes up to me, he's like, hey, instead of the meeting tonight, he's like, do you think we could take all the staff on a tube float? He said, just for some fellowship. I'm like, your meeting. So we all went on a tube float. So it was a lot of fun. Oh, soul sent out. This is Elizabeth Brown. Some of you may know her as Lizzie Brown. She's been to camp, got saved at camp, wanted to get baptized at camp. She came to me. I said, as long as your mom and dad are okay with it. And so she talked to her mom and dad. Projects, everybody's asked, hey, what do? When camp's closed. No, we don't sit around a bonfire and have s'mores, okay? I mean, we do have bonfires, but we do a lot of work. I mean, we're talking over 750 acres and multiple buildings. Think about your own home that needs to be maintained, right? Times that by about 18 down at camp, okay? Plus things that just go awry. I got a text yesterday. I think we sprung a leak outside Oak. I'm like, great. We have a water main leak outside of Oak. So things happen, all right? We'll get it fixed. This is a remodel at Steve and Karen's house, the house that they live in. We actually vaulted the ceiling, moved things around, made it more user-friendly. This house has evolved over time. It was a trailer, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, we redid that one. Wait for it. There's that 50 cents a square foot floor. Ooh, anybody been in Camper Village bathrooms? We remodeled those this last year. How about the pool bathrooms, right? Yeah, we remodeled those. Okay, this is the house that Jeremy and Bree were living in. This was Grandma Allen's house who gave it to camp. It was retro 80s, okay? So we remodeled it, updated it, painted it, kitchen, bathrooms, all of those things. So we do a lot of work off-season. So that's the kitchen after the fact. We did a lot of work down at the lake. We had to remodel some of those things. Where's Karen? Is Karen here? She's downstairs. Karen has put a lot of time and effort into the golf course. We put all new greens on the golf course within the last month. We fixed a couple of them that were messed up. The balls wouldn't go through. You guys know the balls wouldn't go through some of them. We fixed all that, all right? All new greens, took them all out. Up top where our shuffleboard was, we made a mini nine hole up there. So we're almost done with that. So we changed everything around at the mini golf. Again, just keeping things updated and well taken care of. The lean-to, many of you saw the one that was actually leaning down at the stables. We fixed that one and we built a new one for the horses, all right? Literally, the trusses were given to us by a garage we went and took down. They're like, oh, we don't want the trusses. You can have them. I'm like, yeah, we'll take them. So that's what it ended up with. All right, here's a big one, Cedar Lodge. Okay, how many of you stayed in Cedar Lodge? Yeah, it's pretty. It's rough. Yeah, okay. So just to give you, and I know it's 12:15, so I'll close with this. Cedar Lodge, we're gutting the whole thing. Upstairs and downstairs, yes. 2 years ago, I looked at it and said, oh, maybe we should paint and do this and this. And then COVID hit, so we had to take care of that. Then this past summer, before it started, I said, well, let's just gut it. So we're taking it to the outside walls. We're reconfiguring it. It'll be really nice. So just to give you a rough idea, and I'll go through these quickly. We had storage buildings. We had meeting rooms downstairs. Cindy, you'll recognize the craft room. Anybody who's been a camper will recognize the craft room. So Matt took a video of this. So this is what it was. We had our plaque room. We had some storage. We had the craft room, all of those things. That's all going away. The cramped cabins upstairs that some of you have stayed in, all going away. It's going to be more like bunkhouse, to where it's spread out a little bit more, and we'll have a full-size bed for family camp, so when parents come and they have their families, they can have a bed instead of being in two little, you know, bunk beds. So Matt, I said, Matt, run me a quick video of what it was before we start tearing it all apart, okay? So he did that, and many of you have been on weekend camps. We use this room for day camp and meeting room for the kids. You guys have been in that room. It's gone. We tore it all out. So literally, we just took it, and you can see the pictures here. And we'll close with this, but as you look at these pictures, be in prayer. This is a huge expense. It is a huge job. We literally have to cut the concrete, put new drains in. God bless Quaker Windows. They're giving us 16 windows to replace all the windows. Beautiful, brand new vinyl windows. There's Jeremy. There you are. Yeah, Jeremy's good at destroying things. No, he's good at a lot. Jeremy fixes a lot of our vehicles, almost all, every time, fixes our vehicles. Saved us a lot of expense to sending them out. But anyway, please be in prayer about Cedar. If you want to come down and help, we'd love to have you. There's the basement now, gone. It's gone. The basement's just gone. We tore it all out because we still need the upstairs. We haven't done that. But please be in prayer about Cedar. It is a big job. And quite frankly, me and the board, we pretty much took a step of faith on this one, just so you know. You can read between the lines, okay? Just pray that the Lord will provide, A, what we need, and B, what we need, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that we can worship. Lord, that we, as a family of believers, can come together and worship you. Amen. We thank you for the ministry at Turkey Hill. Thank you so much for the support that all have given. Lord, it is your ministry, not the board's, not mine, not anybody's. It's your ministry. Lord, we just pray that you would bless it. And again, we just thank you for the support from Fenton Crossing and all those around the world that support it. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.